it out. Introducing the newest WWF wrestling buddy, Big Boss Man and Jake the Snake Roberts. Clunk him. The Snake Buddies want to be your buddy.
Snake Buddy, what's going on?
Nothing, officer.
Body well.
Hey, who's the wise guy?
Big Boss Man!
Murphy, what's going on?
Nothing, Sarge.
Big Boss Man and Jake the Snake Roberts, the newest WWF wrestling buddies from Tonga. He's sold separately.
Wrestling Buddies, episode 5, right?
5.
Episode 5?
Episode 5, magic number 5.
All right, is that correct? This week we are covering Road Wild 97. This is part 2 of a collaboration with the NitroCast. If anybody listened to the last NitroCast, which I'm sure that you did, you will notice that I left you on a cliffhanger where I didn't cover Road Wild 97 because I wanted to cover it with my wrestling buddy, Mike. Mike, go ahead and say hi.
Hi, everybody. I'm Mike.
And let the people know how they can find you.
You can find me on Twitter at Mike Spiesman. M-I-K-E-S-P-I-E-S-M-E-N.
I was going to ask you to spell it for the fine folks.
I spelled it.
Why don't you step? That's Twitter. And also, it's NitroCast, like I just said. Now then, let me give you a little bit of background here about the show. I watched it for the NitroCast. And then I thought, oh, my God, this show is terrible. We got to do this. I have to share my misery with Mike.
And it came out perfectly, too, so because we were planning on doing a couple, if not two shows this weekend as well.
Yep, so it worked out just perfectly, killing two birds with one stone. And you know what? I got to think that as I get a little farther into the NitroCast, that we're going to be having a whole lot more WCW
pay-per-views. Yeah, I can't wait. That's why we stuck away from it for so long.
Yeah, boy, holy shit. Rose-colored glasses is, is what I've been looking WCW through. Because they've been pretty good for the most part. This is where it starts to take a downturn. But you know what?
It sounds like the Nitros have been better than the pay-per-views. Because I've been listening to your shows, and the Nitros, you said, they've been really good, so.
They've been knocking Nitros out of the fucking park. But this here pay-per-view, it stinks. But again, you know what? It's Road Wild. And it's just a reason for Bischoff and Hogan and their buddies to hop on their motorcycles and ride to Sturgis and get paid to do it.
Mm-hmm.
That's it. You know, there's nothing more to it than that.
Besides pay-per-view buys and maybe the merchandise they sold at the show, I don't understand, because I read it was a free. Every time, the 4 years they ran it, it was a free pay-per-view. So all the biker guys that were there got to see it for free.
WCW did a whole lot of free shows in their in their lifetime. So everything that you saw, like every WCW Saturday night, when they did like the Panama City ones, those were all free. So they were just pissing money away. They loved it. All right, we ready to begin this misery?
We got it. I sat here and watched this last night, and wish I hadn't.
All right, here we go. Sturgis, South Dakota. That's where we're at. We started with some helicopter shots, and I bet it smells terrible there. That's my first impression.
A bunch of smelly bikers. Not there's anything wrong with that.
yes, there is.
The leather clad bikers.
But at least Dusty, Tony, and Bobby are not leather clad like they were last year. Specifically, Tony not wearing his nice leather hat.
They were trying to dress cool, though. I did notice that. Bobby Heenan dressed nice with his WCW hat. I thought that kind of stuck out to me.
Well, I had one hope for Heenan this year, and he fulfilled it. He did not get shit-faced.
Yep.
So, because he got tore the fuck up last year. Mm-hmm. So, at least they told him, you know what, Bob? We'll have the booze. You can drink later. So, so that's wonderful.
Yep.
But, their outfits last year, oh, my goodness. They were terrible. But they look like extras from the Village People. They were so bad. All right, Tony lays it out that the NWO could be all done tonight. Opportunity is knocking on the door, if you will. Is Dusty's words of wisdom. So with that, let's get to our opening contest. Oh, before we get to that, the ring. How did you like the ring set up?
Well, the fact that it was like 30 feet off the ground.
Yep.
Like it was just begging for someone to get their asses killed.
Is that not the most dangerous thing you've ever seen?
They didn't do that last year, did they?
Oh, it was the same thing.
Was it? It's like that.
Yeah.
Yeah. You have to step up to get to the freaking, you know, the floor to get to the ring. So
for anyone that has not seen a Road Wild pay-per-view, basically the ring is on top of a mound of dirt. That's basically it. And it's out there like in the middle of the field with thousands of smelly bikers, you know, just being smelly. And leading up to the pay-per-view.
The hard camera site, too, is blank as hell, too.
It's terrible because you can see like RVs and shit.
RVs and the fucking mountains and everything. And
I like the mountains, though.
Yeah, that was real nice.
Yeah. You know, I would like to think that, you know, Kevin Nash would just like stare off into that instead of like getting attacked or something. But yeah, we were. I was reminded many times on the previous Nitros that this is an adults only pay per view. So.
Oh yeah, there were some chants, especially one I wrote down later on. I know you found particularly despicable.
We'll get to that one later. But what did we expect? All right, here we go. Vicious and Delicious with Vincent taking on Harlem Heat. That's our opening contest.
Who's the heels in this match, by the way? I'm just curious.
Vicious and Delicious.
Okay, because I couldn't remember if Harlem Heat was.
Oh, don't worry, I'm getting to that.
Okay.
We have nameplates, license plates. That's for like the main placard. Yep. Wasn't that classic?
Oh yeah.
And Monday was the biggest night in WCW history.
Of course, like every night.
That's what Tony told us. But and you know what though, actually was, you know, Luger, you know, beating Hogan for the title, it drew a 4.36 rating. So now. I just answered your question as to why they gave Luger a title ring. I'll get to that in a little bit, though. Both with arm drags and drop kicks to both guys, and he is very facey. That's right, the heel is already very facey to start. two big guys, and they slow it down. We get a pump kick by Stevie after a knee to the back. And Harlem Heat needs to figure out who they are. So look at that. I'm not the only one. That figured that one out.
Hey, can I throw something in here real quick about Scott Norton?
Absolutely.
Yeah, I was watching, funny, on TV today, it was Over the Top. Remember that movie, that Sylvester Stallone movie?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, do you know Scott Norton was in that movie? He was one of the arm wrestlers in the end of the movie.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, I didn't realize that. I saw someone look like him, and then I went into Wikipedia and did my little search, and Scott Norton was in there. This is before he got into wrestling, so this kind of a side thought on, side note on Scott Norton.
That is probably the best movie about arm wrestling I've ever seen.
Is that the only one about arm wrestling?
Yeah. Probably.
It's not a bad movie, though.
Oh, shit, what was his name? Lincoln Hawk?
Lincoln Hawk, yeah.
Link. Oh, man, what a great fucking name that is.
His pussy-ass son.
Yeah, exactly. But goddamn, man, Lincoln Hawk, what a good name that is.
Yeah.
They're just begging to be a wrestler right there.
Oh, yeah.
But then they just shorten his name to Hawk and then
Hawk Lincoln.
All right, Buff gets the tag, and again he cleans house. So he is super face. He's an American male as Buff Bagwell here. They had the stupid staging like last year. Yep. You got to keep your Bennett in the ring. That's basically all that Dusty has to say about how shitty the ring setup is. Keep your Bennett in the ring, if you will.
If you will.
Scissor kick that gets a 1-2-0 match. And Harlem Heat has a big surprise. What is that big surprise, sir?
Oh yeah, out comes Miss Jackie.
Yes.
And as soon as she comes out, I put in here the bikers rev their engines. And I don't remember the revving the engine thing, but I can tell you as the night got on, that got pretty goddamn annoying.
Yep.
But yeah,
that's a good double entendre right there, though. Yeah.
I put in there, why did the bikers rev their engine when Jackie came out?
Oh, it's better than cheering.
Yeah, I don't know.
I couldn't help but think like how much gas these guys just wasted at that show.
And how no one died of fucking carbon monoxide poisoning too.
So I'm sure people did. Jake comes out, she starts jawing with Vincent. Bobby says that she can take Vincent easily. So
look it up,
Barry and Vince.
Yep, I don't doubt that.
Buff reverses a powerbomb into one of his own, now with a clothesline, some shoulder blocks. Vincent strikes Stevie. We get a shoulder breaker to Booker. Jackie hops on Norton's back. So that was nice, putting herself in harm's way. Booker takes Norton's head off with one of the sickest sidekicks I've ever seen. Harlem Heat wins. There's a shit match, but that sidekick was fucking worth it.
Yeah. What the hell were, after the match was over, Booker and Jackie were saying something to the camera that I couldn't, it was so inaudible and unintelligible. I couldn't understand what the fuck they were saying.
That's what Harlem Heat does.
Wait, like that's Hulk Hogan, we coming for you.
Hey.
I didn't say nothing. I stopped.
Yeah. Scared you a little bit. Yeah. How many stars are you giving that match?
Out of what, five?
Yeah.
1.5. I actually thought the next one was worse.
Really? You're going to give that like positive stars?
Yeah.
I can't even do that because you have the heels acting as faces and the faces acting as
heels. That's why I was so confused.
Oh, yeah. They used to do that shit with Harlem Heat all the time. Yeah, so.
There are worse matches on the pay-per-view. So.
But before we get to that, we go to the Einsteiners with DiBiase doing an interview with WCW.org in the back.
So. Oh, yeah. Yeah, okay. I was listening. I couldn't remember when Ted DiBiase showed up and began managing the Einsteiners, which is a great freaking name.
I know. Thank you, Scott Hall, for
that one. Yeah, that was great. But wasn't it? It was the Nitro before this, right? Where he showed up and started. Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep. You got it.
It was for no reason, right? He just came out of nowhere and said, "I'm just going to start managing."
Pretty much, and he is just terrible. Ted DiBiase as a face is ineffective and awful.
Mm-hmm.
So I will just say that. I mean, his promo is terrible. He almost said WWF about 4 times. So. It stinks.
Mm-hmm.
All right, here we go. Next match. You want to cover this one?
Well, I just want to say, no, you go and you do it. I just took like random notes, but something that's, I hate the NWO jobber music is horrible.
Oh, it's the worst.
I hated it. Even listening to it now, I remember listening to it back then being like, dude, this is how you tell these are the shit guys. You know?
Yeah, but Vicious and Delicious, they were kind of groomed to
be. Why were they? Why did they have the jar music? I was wondering that too.
Right. Because I think that just the regular NWO music was like reserved for like the Wolfpack.
Yeah.
So. Yeah. I think.
Yeah, I hate
that. That makes sense. Oh, it's the worst fucking music ever.
Mm-hmm.
So it's terrible. All right, here we go. Mexican deathmatch time.
What part of this? Oh, wait, that might explain something I wrote down in here.
Oh, did it?
Well, as I said Mexican deathmatch, but at the end, I'm thinking, why the hell is a Mexican deathmatch? But then I started thinking about something. Go ahead.
All right, it's Conan taking on Rey Mysterio Jr.
Pre-steroids. Pre-steroids and massive tats, that's what I'm saying.
Yep.
Yep.
When I write down before this match starts, this could be sneaky good. Boy, was I fucking wrong. All right, hold on. Let me do a little bit of setup for this match before we get into it. Now then, Ray, he had a moment of stupidity about 2 months ago where he challenged Kevin Nash to a match. Nash gave him like 8 power bombs, whatever. Conan came out, picked up the scraps, put him in a tequila sunrise, and air quotes, broke Ray's leg. Well, you know, fast forward a few weeks later, it's not really broken. And, you know, all the luchadores are standing behind Ray as he takes on Conan, as Conan has joined the NWO. And now it's Conan's job to take out all of these luchadores that he helped bring into WCW. So that's his mission right now.
Gotcha.
So, Ray, you should have taken the knee surgery, bro.
Mm-hmm.
Look at this. He's like in his early 20s.
Yeah.
And he's already having knee problems, man.
I just put foreshadowing Ray knee injury. That was the note I wrote down here.
I mean, he's been in WCW about a year at this point, maybe, probably a little bit longer. And this is maybe like the second or third knee angle that they've already done with him. So, unfortunate.
That's the future for Ray. Well,
the future is the present for Ray.
That's right.
All right. Yeah. What were your expectations for this match? Just seeing these two names there.
I was thinking it was going to be pretty decent. I really was. While I was watching it, I mean, I'm going to hit it when you cover it, but now I feel like an idiot because I guess that's where the Mexican death match came in. Mexican grudge death match.
Yep.
So I was irritated when Conan had Ray's leg wrapped around the ropes and there was no rope break. And it was really pissing me off. I'm trying to figure out why the fuck when I guess that was where the death match part came in now that I read that. But what really made this a death match? Besides the fact they weren't, there's no rope breaks or, you know, half the move that he was being done to him, Ray was hanging out outside the ring, like, you know, on the end of the, yeah, the, but that was, I was getting really pissed off.
Mexicans have a different definition of death than we do.
Okay.
There. There's your answer. Okay. All right, let's get to the match. Ray was springboard dropkick early, head scissors to follow, and it doesn't take long for Conan to target the knee. We get some great selling by Ray. Is he the most sympathetic babyface ever?
Ray Mysterio?
Yeah.
Yeah, would you think so? I mean,
he's like neck and neck right there with Morton for me. So
with who?
Ricky Morton.
Oh yeah, gotcha. Yeah.
I mean, you know, when Ray is just catching the shit kick and Conan is just going after the leg, you believe that leg hurts. So,
yeah.
So I'm saying, yeah, he might be the most sympathetic babyface ever. Goes for a head scissors, tries to leap frog, but lands wrong, which was so awesome. You know, you just selling that knee injury. Conan goes, hits him off with a knee clip, then goes for some more leg work. Then he goes after the mask.
Oh, how cool was that? You ripped the mask off.
Yeah, power bombs him, then he gets the mask pretty much off. But you know, like Ray puts his hands over his face. And
he held it. It looks like he held it to his face. Like he never actually, you could say it came off like 90% of it, and the rest of it he was just kind of pushing onto his face.
Well, what was he doing?
He was going like this. For all you can't see, we're Skyping right now. We got perfect shots of each other.
Yeah, it works wonderful for an audio podcast. We get a brief comeback by Ray, though. He gets all fired up. Tries a double springboard, but his knee gives out on him again because he's an idiot. We got a modified stunt pull by Conan. An injury is bad for a high flyer. That's what Tony says.
Oh, yeah.
Tony Giovanni is a fucking genius. Now you get to see what I get to suffer through. But he's still better than Michael Cole. We get a belly-to-belly overhead suplex by Conan. Ray follows that up with some drop kicks to Conan's knee. Ray can barely climb the ropes. Conan crouches him. Get a cradle DDT. Tequila Sunrise. Conan wins. Smart psychology. Great selling. Yeah, that's about all I got to say. This match, it was what it was.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
I really don't understand what made a Mexican death match, besides the fact there was no rope breaks.
Oh, it's WCW. That's pretty much how their death matches work. There was one a few pay-per-views ago with Benoit and Ming. It was like no holds barred, but there was rope breaks. So, so it was like the opposite of this. And plus, I don't think they communicated well with their referees. Yeah. So yeah, you know, decent match though, and it really fit in though with the storyline. So we'll see where this goes. I don't even know what's going to. The trainer comes out to check on Ray, so we'll go to that. Then you see Mean Gene with a fake tattoo, and then he pinched the hotline. That son of a bitch. Pimping the hotline while you're already getting money from people is almost as bad as shilling the network while on the network.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know,
how much is the network again? That's just
crazy. No, I don't play that.
I know it's ridiculous.
Oh, my God.
I just renewed it for I paid a full 6 months out. And if they take away pay-per-views that they keep freaking hitting towards, I'm going to stop after this 6 months.
No, they can't jack up the price. They already put a flag up. So.
Yeah.
All right. Inoffensive match wasn't bad. So, all right, here we go. Next contest. Steve Mongo McMichael and the Canadian Crippler Chris Benoit taking on Double J, Jeff Jarrett, and Dean Malenko with Queen Deborah. Oh, boy.
Mm-hmm.
this has to be like my least favorite pairing of all time is Jarrett and Ugly. So, I really can't stand those two. Dusty gets all flabbergasted after seeing the fat girl with wearing a boa. So that was something. Dusty loves him some fat women too. And I'm pretty sure, and I'm fairly sure that I saw a brother and a sister kiss. Did you catch that?
Who? Oh yeah, I saw something like that.
Wasn't that gross? Because they kind of looked alike. So
I put in here Mongo worst wrestler / horseman ever.
Mongo, no, he's not the worst horseman ever. No. Paul Roma is.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, Paul Roma, worst horseman ever.
At least he could wrestle.
That's debatable. It's debatable. You know what? Manga is terrible. We get some nice catch-as-catch-can at the beginning, though, between Benoit and Malenko. And, you know, there's not even words to describe, like, how good these two are together.
Yeah, I was thinking this whole time, like, I can't remember when, but I know they have singles matches together, and I want to go back and find those ones.
Go back to their ECW ones.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, do that, because those ones, you know, they're just going 1,000 miles an hour, no selling everything.
By the way, Benoit wins for Mullet of the Night.
Does he?
Yeah, that's what I put in here.
It's, you know, you're probably right. No, you know what? I guarantee you there's 9,000 bikers out there that disagree with you, sir. Mongo slows it down and imposes his will on Dean. You like that? Everything is off. Match. We got a Jared Sucks champ. Mongo eventually makes a tag to Jared. Double J Mongo. They start to go at it, and the bikes rev up. That I kind of liked. Because, you know, you have these two squaring off. The bikes rev up. I thought that was a pretty cool moment. And then Jared just basically pulls Mongo on top of him and gets himself eliminated.
That's where I put hate the random bike revving, actually.
That part right there worked for me. It really did. But Jared, that piece of shit, he gets himself eliminated, which honestly is really smart. I can't even argue with him there, and I fucking hate Jeff Jarrett. But that was so smart and wonderful. So he's gone. At this point, I didn't realize that it was an elimination tag. So
I didn't either. Yeah, I was thinking the same thing when that happened.
Yeah, so they really tipped their hand at that, and I guess I should have paid attention earlier. Malenko comes in, he gets a second win, but you know, numbers game. Benoit with a tombstone, hits his headbutt. Mongo says, fuck you, I'm going to do a tombstone as well. Horseman win.
I put in here, Benoit with a kill my family headbutt.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yep, that's how it happened. Well, if you notice, woman hasn't been on TV in, you know, months now. So.
Oh boy!
I think she might be done with the company.
Mm. I put in there. How has Mongo never killed anybody with a tombstone? Because
exactly, it's
very close.
You have a guy that's been a wrestler for, you know, about a year. You know, never wrestled a day in his life. He's an athlete, you know, mm-hmm. a defensive lineman, albeit, but he's still an athlete. So, hey, let's give him the tombstone as a finisher. One of the most fucking deadly moves mm-hmm. that you can cripple someone with. Yeah, let's give it to Mongo. He seems like a responsible adult. It's the dumbest thing I've ever heard.
Random question I put in here, too, is when did Mongo and Deborah divorce? Was it soon after this, or...
I want to say it was when she went to WWF, right?
Okay. I don't know. That's why I wrote down. I never looked it up. But was it something yeah, I wrote
I,
down?
I don't know. Hmm. I can't stand her. Well, I know.
Oh, I know that too.
Yeah. I'm like the third. I'm like third on the list of people that hate her the most. I'm right behind Mongo and Austin.
Oh, yeah. I know Stone Cold does. Yeah. She outed him.
I'm third in line. pretty smart move by Jared. Mongo and Benoit, they look pretty good together, actually. Yep. This match wasn't bad. So, you know what? It's kind of chugging along. You know, an average pay-per-view. You know, you get a little bit of good stuff going on there between Benoit and Malenko. So that was a plus.
Mm-hmm.
So, yes, this match wasn't bad. We get a video of the Steiners and DDP riding the Sturgis. So there you go. That's why they're having this pay-per-view. Mm-hmm. So guys can ride their bikes and get paid for it. Vince wouldn't do this. No fucking way Vince would do this. No.
Why hasn't he stolen it yet? It's the same month. Why hasn't he done it yet? A World Wild pay-per-view. Because it's the same month of SummerSlam. That's the only reason.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, who knows? Maybe they will have like an outdoor SummerSlam and then go riding his bike.
Hmm. Do you think Vince owns a bike?
That sounds terrible. All right, here we go. Next match. Cruiserweight title contest. Lionheart, Chris Jericho, taking on the newly crowned Cruiserweight champion, Alex Wright.
All right, question here. I got a question.
Yes.
Now, I watched this on the network. Did you?
Yes, I did.
What was this random, weird, generic music for Chris Jericho? It wasn't even most pay-per-views matches of his I've seen in WCW. They dubbed in his current WWE music. This was just some really shitty generic music. It wasn't even...
It's on like a Nintendo theme?
Yeah, pretty much.
Did it go do 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 do? Kind of like that. It sounded like a Tecmo Bowl theme.
I don't know for sure if
that's because that was his real music. that was his beginning music there in WCW.
When did he switch to the other one?
After he became a heel.
Yeah, we're getting old. Yeah, that was a long time ago.
Yeah, because he had like his second music is like an even flow rip off, right?
I think so. Yeah. The one they don't play on the new stuff.
Yeah. He hasn't got there yet. So.
Okay. All right. So it's not the network's fault. Got it. Okay. But I'm a huge mark for Alex Wright, by the way. I love the dancing.
Alex Wright is really fantastic. I'm not even gonna lie. Because what he did, like the Monday before, they had the Nitro Girls out there dancing, and he comes through and he does his little dance in between them.
Yeah, I actually remember that.
It was so good, and they have done it so perfectly right with him.
Mm-hmm.
Where, you know, he's had this nice slow build as he's turned heel, and it's fantastic, culminating in a Cruiserweight title victory over Chris Jericho on TV, and it just made sense.
Yeah,
so. So, yeah, good job, WCW. You're doing some good things right on booking.
Mm-hmm. Mark Curtis has a fabulous porn stash.
I love Mark Curtis. He is one of my favorite referees of all time. Because
mm-hmm.
I just love... And holy shit, I even write this down in my notes. I'll get to that in 2 seconds. today, with an update on Ray, and it's just... it's at least a severe sprain of his knee. Just leave now, right? Jericho's a sweet lion on his vest. And I also say that this crowd will love Alex Wright. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And yes, Mark Curtis is my favorite ref. I have that written down right here in my notes. I absolutely love him. He just does all those little things that are fantastic. And then he like crouches in the corner before the match starts, which is just a little subtle thing I noticed.
I noticed that too. Actually, yeah.
Isn't that awesome?
Man? Yeah. Yep.
You know, it's just a little thing that he does. No one else does it. You know,
mm-hmm.
I like him. And really before like this match even kicks off, we get a nice big loud faggot chant.
Yep, I wrote that right here. Very classy. Very classy.
You stay classy, Sturgis.
Yep. The bugger crowd. I wrote that. Crowd.
Were you surprised?
Crowd with stupid faggot chant. Classy. The bugger crowd is garbage. That's what I put on here.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Yep, I was not surprised in the least.
Yeah, I can't believe I honestly can't believe WWE didn't dub that out or something on the network.
Oh no, it's uncensored. Except for music.
Mm-hmm. Except for music, yeah.
Yeah, which also reminds me that once they get like all the nitros there on the network, I will still watch them the way that I watch them because I don't want the off chance that they are going to edit things out. So. Mm-hmm. Fuck them. That I like to watch things off of grainy old VHS. So, it's wonderful. I like to see like tracking right there in the corner. It's, you know, it's wonderful. We get some nice heel work by Ray, and it's a real slow start. Neither man gets the advantage until Jericho crashes right. And yeah, that was the word I was looking for right there, because Dusty doesn't know what to call it. And then Tony just out of nowhere just says, crotch. You catch that?
No, I did not.
Oh, he said crotch. I'm going to say do crotch. Yeah, Tony's on fire tonight. We get a springboard dive to the floor by Jericho. I tell him to be careful. Because, you know, you could easily die doing that. Jericho keeps pressure on. Legley puts right back in control. We get diving one foot stop. Get some uppercuts, a belly to back. But he wastes time because he's a heel. Right?
Mm-hmm.
Am I on the right guy? Yeah. He misses the moonsault. We get a series of corner clotheslines by Jericho. Hits a lion salt, then a senton. Gets a near fall out of that. Did you notice during this match that Jericho either looked a little bit lost or he was wasting time on purpose? Did you notice this?
No, not really. I wasn't looking for it, I guess. Maybe you've been covering it more, so maybe you did.
Yeah, it just looked like, you know, that he was just wasting a little bit of time, and then, especially a little bit later in the match, you know, he just says a whole lot of frustration, like, who knows, something might be coming down the pike. Who knows? All right, so he hits a double powerbomb, gets a 1-2-0. Tell me you didn't miss that move.
Oh, yeah. I didn't miss that move.
Isn't that awesome? Yeah. Like, no one does that shit nowadays. He goes up top. We get a, come on, baby. And then he gets crossed because he had to say, come on, baby.
Mm-hmm.
Right with the superplex, gets a 1-2-0. Get a few near falls off of roll-ups. Come on, baby. Another roll-up. Wright rolls through, grabs the tights, Alex Wright retains. We get a lot of frustration by Jericho there at the end, which I think it's got to lead to something.
Yep, I noticed that. I did notice that part.
Yep, and he stole Lenny Lane's haircut.
Mm-hmm.
I noticed that as well. What did you think of this match?
It was a decent, better one of the better matches for the night. I remember that. But yeah, I love Alex Wright.
I would call it my match of the night.
Yeah.
I'll say it right now. And that's not saying much. This was a pretty average match.
Yeah.
I think that their one on Nitro is probably better.
I don't remember that one, but yeah.
But Alex Wright is such an underrated heel, though.
Yeah, he's fantastic.
Why did he not get, like, a bigger push? Is it just because he couldn't speak?
Probably. He never really did talk, did he? Even when he did the Berlin character later on. Oh, spoiler alert.
What? Who is this Berlin you speak of? Well, you know, he speaks in such broken English.
Yeah.
That why didn't they put him with somebody?
Then they did later. I think later on they had him with a dancing thing with Disco Inferno. They're like a tag team.
That makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. I haven't seen him in probably like a year.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he's gone. Mm-hmm. Disappeared. To be Alex right there, that's like a missed opportunity because that guy could just straight up go in the ring. So, and he was big, you know, he could dance.
Mm-hmm.
Couldn't put a promo. He was Randy Orton of his day. All right. here we go. Next match. Six taking on Ric Flair. Mayor Clifford Lynn is there. So that's nice. Way to go start this.
Bobby Heenan says something during Flair's entrance that really stuck out to me.
All right.
Bobby Heenan says, no man will ever again say they are a 13-time world champion. You didn't catch that?
No, I really didn't.
Yep. I put in big parentheses. Funny. I put in parentheses here. I wish.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sorry, Bob.
Fucking Cena.
Yeah.
I hate Cena.
Well, but, you know, like Orton, he's like a 13-time champ, too. Right. Something like that.
Yeah, he's won
a ton of them.
Hmm.
Ton of them. Oof. Don't worry, dude. Just wait till you hear Roman Reigns, 19-time world champion. So. If I could shoot me in the face, I would quit watching wrestling. If that ever happened. This was, again, another match I was really looking forward to. Because these two, they had such a nice build-up where it just felt like genuine hatred between the two of them. And Six really stepped up his heel game. Like, his promos are actually pretty good. I have developed an appreciation for Six. So, yeah, never thought I'd say that. But, yeah, Sean Waltman was actually pretty good. Like, what did you remember about him at WCW?
That he was there.
Yeah, so did. That's what I thought too going into this.
I remember he was one of the few guys that had his own t-shirt too. I noticed that today. I completely forgot about that. Today when I was watching one of the Monday, the Rise of the NWO on the Monday Night Wars show on the network. And he actually had, it was like the NWO shirt in the front and the back had that six ball.
Yeah.
So, yeah. But I mean, other than the Outsiders and the Hollywood Hogan shirt, like no one had their own little, like, you know, custom made shirt.
He was
probably the only one that bought it, too, but, you know.
Oh, well, I remember Scott Hall used to wear it.
Yeah.
But, you know, he probably got it for free. But
it was a gift, yeah.
Well, yeah, I really didn't remember him doing much in the company, but, I mean, he's been really involved in his ring work. He's damn solid.
Mm-hmm.
And I've been watching him since he was the Lightning Kid in USWA, and he had the sweetest mullet you've ever seen. You ever seen him as the Lightning Kid?
Yeah, I remember his mullet from when he first started in WWF.
Oh, it was even better than that. It was fantastic. He would win mullet of the century for that.
Mm.
But yeah, this is really a match I was looking forward to, because these two just had a really nice build. So let's see if the match will deliver. We get a shoulder brackets of crotch chops, a 4x6. Get a hair pull and nip up spot. So pretty nice. Six is super hyped against this. Flair uses it against him. Whip just uses such smart psychology there at the beginning, where, you know, he sees that Six is ready to go. You know, he's bursting at the seams. Flair just slows it down. How smart was that? That's just not something that you see a whole lot of nowadays. You don't see ring workers like Ric Flair, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. And Six, he just really understands. And he gets it, too. I mean, Six, Sean Waltman is a very underrated wrestler. So I will say that. We get some corner kicks, and Bronco Buster, match. Goes up top, gets a guillotine leg drop, gets a 1-2-0, get a glancing spinning heel kick, which also gets a near fall. You get chops and punches in the corner, and then a comeback. Flair goes for a knee breaker, then Enziguri by Six stops up, goes back up top, and this is a somersault senton, which has become one of Six's go-to bombs right there. Flair with the figure four, buddies in the ropes, get a buzz carry attempt, that didn't work either. He tries the Bronco Buster again. Flair gets the boot up, stacks him up, threw down the ropes. Ric Flair wins. Yeah, there was a match.
Yeah, it wasn't fluid at all. Yeah.
No, not a bit.
There was nothing noteworthy. Like, this is the least amount of notes I took for any of the matches, and it wasn't noteworthy.
Flair looked disinterested after about 2 minutes in.
Mm-hmm.
And his psychology there at the beginning, I misinterpreted it. He just didn't want to be there.
Yeah.
I was trying to give this guy fucking credit for being the smartest worker of all time, but he just didn't want to be there. That was it. But I did like the finish where, you know, he gets the boot up. So that was pretty smart.
Yeah, that was pretty cool. It looked nasty, too.
Okay. Yeah, it might have been. Yeah, Six went all out, you know, just kind of... Fuck Ric Flair's foot.
He went to the well one too many times.
Damn it. Oh, he went to the well once too often there. Tony Schiavone's, if you will. Yeah, that match was a super letdown. So, you know, this is where the tables are turning. Darkness is turning here. Next match, Kurt Hennig taking on DDP. So, this match came about because, was it last pay-per-view? DDP chose Kurt Hennig as his mystery partner to take on Macho Man and someone else.
Scott Hall, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was Scott Hall or Kevin Nash, one of those. One of those big idiots. And then Hennig, you know, he decided to turn on him and left and all that good stuff. So they've been feuding back and forth here the entire time. Hennig, he's still calling himself a free agent. So he's not really with the Horsemen, but he's hanging out with Flair just because he likes the beer and the bitches.
Mm-hmm.
But he's still declaring himself a free agent, so who knows what's going on here.
Beer and bitches.
Good?
Beer and bitches. You can't beat that.
I'm here with beer and the bitches. What did you remember about Kurt Hennig's run here in WCW?
Same as Six. I just don't remember. I don't recall. I remember him doing a thing where he was with Rick Rude for a while. Like, Rick Rude is like his running buddy for a while, like later on.
Mm-hmm.
The way they brought him out was kind of anticlimactic. I was listening to you in one of your shows, two shows ago. It just didn't seem like, oh, here's Kurt Hennig. You know, it's like they're one of the biggest history. One of the big, I mean, was it what they say? One of the biggest defections to the free agent arrivals or some shit like that. But then you really don't remember. I remember him being drunk the night that. Being really wasted, and they had to carry him down in the ring when they did the Canadian flag thing for Bret Hart.
I don't remember that.
I remember that.
I can't wait to see that now.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, if this would have been 1993, this would have been a big deal.
Yeah.
But, I mean, Kurt Hennig here, you know, he's in his 40s. I mean, you know, he's a good 16 years into his career. So, I mean, you know, it's... Yeah, you know, it's not too big of a deal, and he's still trying to bump like he did, you know, 10 years ago, and it's not working. You know, you can tell that his back is killing him. You know, he's still got ring rust on him.
Yeah, he's still bad in the drugs, too, so.
Oh, yeah.
This is when he starts peaking, I think.
Yeah, he looks terrible. Dolph Ziggler, this is what you're going to look like in about 8 years, bud. You know, quit selling death on everything.
He's still better than Curtis Axel right now, though.
Well, who isn't? God, Ryback's fucking leaving him. Poor Ryback. I've got plans for him, too. So I already know how to bring him back as a main eventer.
We'll cast that on a future show of the Cast of the Champions.
Absolutely. Yeah. I was just about to say, but we'll talk about that on Cast of the Champions when we decide to save the WWF. Mm-hmm. Save the WWF. WWE. Good God. I really went back in 97.
Good job, DiBiase.
I know, Christ. I'm Ted DiBiase. I'm back in 97. All right, let's get to this fucking match. Match starts off where we get lots of fists to start. Hennig bumps his best he can. He's rusty. Paige almost pulls the singlet off, so yeah, we almost get to see little Curtis Axel. Paige goes up top, he gets crotched, we get a towel choke, and Hennig slows the pace down because he's higher than a kite. Get our usual Hennig spots. Nice float over backside by Paige, though. So. Hennig misses a clothesline and some punches. He's just missing spots. His clotheslines look like shit. He's terrible. Inadvertent elbow to the referee off of the kick out. Hennig pulls the turnbuckle cover off, knocks your DDP out. We get a perfect plex, which gets a 1-2. Nope. Paige is busted open, and that's when the camera angle just, we just stick the hard camera from here on out. Did you notice that?
No, I sure didn't.
No, you better be subtle move then. All right. Good job. Yeah, they didn't want to show blood, apparently. He tries a buckle shot again. Paige fires up and rams him in the corner.
Rams him.
He rams him. We get another accidental ref bump, so look at that. Not one, but two ref bumps in one match. Flair tries to run in. He hits a diamond cutter. Paige turns into a perfect plex for three. Kurt Hennig wins. This wasn't good either.
What was the difference between the second perfect plex and the first one? After the first one, he just took the shot to the, you know, the unprotected turnbuckle shot, and he manages to kick out of that one, no problem. But the second one, nothing happened. He just perfect-plexed him, and he can't kick out of that one? Seriously?
Well, it's like when you're playing, like, WWE 2K. Their first finisher didn't more than likely going to kick out. The second one, you got to warm down a little bit. Yeah, this was terrible.
Yep.
It wasn't good. DDP, he's fighting from underneath the entire time, which is usually a good spot for him, but, you know, Hennig just, he wasn't even bumping good in this either.
He was too coked out, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, he just looks terrible. He's heavy. He doesn't look good. Gene with more hotline pimping. And then he's going to tell us who Raven's first opponent's going to be.
Oh, my God.
So, any guesses on who that's going to be?
No, I'll stick with Stevie Richards, but I don't
know. That was going to be my guess. It was going to be the original King of Swing, Dancing Stevie Richards.
Just from what I heard on the show this week that happened with him, Dancing Stevie Richards, the original King of Swing. I'm sick of you picking on me.
He was so good. You got to go back into the one where it must have been like 2 or 3 weeks before this, where Raven knocks him down, and Gene's like, "Oh my God, you just mess everything up." He goes, "Ow! At least I'm trying." it is so funny. Oh my God, I love me some Stevie Richards. And this is before like his voice is like really fucked up too, so he's not as raspy here.
Yeah,
but he's pretty awesome. All right, another video package. We get NWO on bikes.
Wait. Before that, we had the Fall Brawl promo with all the D-rate jobbers. Don't forget about that.
Yeah,
guys who will never be in a cage match.
High voltage, they were in there. Yeah. And some other fucking vanilla midgets.
Yep.
Three matches left. The three biggest in WCW history.
I wrote that down too.
I mean, related to WCW and the NWO. That's what I meant.
Yeah, but don't forget Bischoff's NWO promo. The thing about that promo that stuck out to me is that they played Voodoo Child in that promo. Like it was nothing, but they can't use it for Hogan's entrances, though. but they use it in that promo. Yeah. You know, it was a network, another network thing. I would just.
Wow, good call, sir.
Yep.
You know, I'm just so used to hearing it that, you know.
Yeah, because you.
Yeah, it's white noise to me. I hear it so
often. I loved it. I like classic rock, so I love that song. I hate that, that every time I go to a Hogan match, they just dub in the NWO music.
Yeah, I was watching in old Raw, where they did the draft. And when Hogan came out, they had this terrible music, and it was awful. Next match, Macho Man with Liz taking on the Giant. A year ago, Giant walked into this event as champion. So that's really something to think about. And Hogan beat him. Macho stalls and then tries a body slam.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
That was great. Mm-hmm. It's all Giant in this. Macho tries to hide behind Liz. Giant moves her, then just picks up Macho. Military presses him into the ring. He misses the clothesline. Savage clips the knee. He goes to work on it. We get arm wave selling of clotheslines by the Giant, which I hate.
Did you catch Shivani mocking Dusty Rhodes during the match?
No, I didn't.
Yeah. He started doing, if you will, Dusty Rhodes.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Yeah, I thought that was kind of funny. Bastard. Shivani, of all people, you'd think that'd be something Bobby Heenan would do, but yeah.
Yeah, Tony's hitting the bottle, too. Crossbody gets a 1-2, bench press kick out, Goozle chokeslam, Giant wins. This was basically a squash match. Big credit to Savage, though, for taking this shit kicking. It was a short match.
Mm-hmm.
And it really was just like a glorified squash. So, like, how legit do you see the Giant after this match?
Yeah, I mean, it's a credible win. I just don't, I hate squash matches on pay-per-views. As we already caught that with go check out last week's Wrestling Buddies.
You know what, though? Speaking of that, though, I'm changing my grade on the show.
I know. I heard you say that. We could talk about that later. I don't want to because I want to change mine and lower it. That's how much I hated that. I've gone back and watched. Yes, I fucking hated it. Everything about that pay-per-view was just garbage to me. I'm telling you, I'm so, one of the reasons I haven't done the Cast of Champions in a while is because I'm so down on everything right now. You thought I was pretty. You thought I was pretty pissy a couple weeks, couple months ago. I just, especially Monday was a cake for me. The finisher of Monday was the cake for me.
And people are defending it.
I don't believe it. I know. I heard you talking about it too. And
yeah, people defend it. Yeah, mm-hmm. We don't understand wrestling apparently.
Yeah, so. We're stupid. But yeah,
that's it. We don't understand. Mm-hmm. Our pro wrestling game pushes work.
Yeah, evidently only 8 days later, you can come out here with no ill effects in that beating. So, yeah, whatever. People wonder.
I came up with a nice fantasy booking idea for the match while I was mowing my lawn, which was better than what they did on Monday. So, we get a shot of the crowd. It's a sea of heads, which is a callback to last year's show that Dusty was drunk. Oh, look at them. They look like a sea of heads out there, Tony Schwann.
Tony Schwann.
Team title match. Here we go. Outsiders taking on the Einsteiners with Ted DiBiase.
Einsteiners.
That's every your
time,
name, man.
I love it every time I hear it. So God good. Bless you, Scott Hall.
I know. You're fantastic. speaking of Scott Hall, he looks a little soft.
No.
A little bit. And I usually don't notice. For the most part, I think, you know, sat home. What? He had drug problems? He was drinking? Fuck you. I'm watching these shows. He looks fantastic. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think I'm going to be on point here. I think
what a waste. Fuck. You know, the more you think about it, what a fucking waste. Because the guy was phenomenal.
He was probably the most talented guy that I've ever seen.
Mm-hmm.
You know, just he was big. He had a good look. He could talk. He could go in the ring with anybody. He could adjust his style to anyone's. No one could do what he did. You know, the guy is it's so underrated that he pissed it all away.
Yep.
That's it. Probably because he knew, you know what, I'm more talented than 90% of these guys here. You know, no matter what company he was in, he was better than everyone there.
And I always hear people talk about how he's got one of the better minds for wrestling, and he proves it because a lot of these stories you hear about, he came up with these ideas, like the Sting Crow gimmick. Yeah, he came up with that one, a couple other things too. It was I don't want to get into it anymore, but yeah, it's sad.
Oh, yeah, man, what a waste of talent.
Mm-hmm. I remember that ESPN 60 video they did on him.
Oh, yeah, that was good.
Yeah, that was sad. It was sad to watch it. It really was. And that was back when he was, I mean, I'm glad to see he's cleaned himself up now, you know. And remember a couple months ago when he got sick again, we all thought he fell off the wagon. He really didn't. So he's doing good. Yeah. He just has, because of all the shit he did to his body for all those years, it's going to catch up to him. So.
No, well, Jake's not doing too good or anything.
Yeah, I know. I saw that. Yeah.
Yep. Well, the sun is setting there in Sturgis. The sun is setting on the MWO as well. So. Look at that. Bobby the Brain, he said that when Dusty, he gets all excited. Oh, get over here, Bobby the Brain. I want a hug. Yes, sir. A hug after that. Christ. He probably spent all day trying to think of that one. Hold on. I can't wait till the sun sets. I'm going to say this. Sun is setting here. Oh, it's also setting on the end. Check that out, Dusty. Einstein is right down to the ring. And unfortunately, DiBiase is not writing bitch. So I'm kind of disappointed there.
Yeah. But the Road Warriors will go check out Wrestling Buddies One for that one.
Good callback there, sir. Scott Hall tosses the toothpick and then he loses a tooth for it. He punches in an underhook backdrop. We get paintbrushing and which wakes Steiner up. Butterfly suplex brings Nash in. Steiner's clear the ring. Nash tags in. He beats up on Rick for a bit. Hits the snake eyes. Rick pushes out. Then he hits a German suplex, which looked terrible on some of his biggest guy at all. I mean, it's Kevin Nash. Hall in, but Scott Steiner in, but he loses his head to a big boot. Did you see that big boot?
Yeah.
Is that? It did it not look like, you know, he took
his fucking head off. Off? Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Fantastic selling right here by Scott Steiner.
Mm-hmm.
Hall's in. We get a power away, powered by choke slam. Outsiders cut off the ring. We get frequent tags. Nash gets all his spots in all two of them. Lots of heel tactics, including the good old abdominal stretch spot, which everyone loves. I fucking hate that. Oh, my God. And Scott Steiner is basically in the ring for 10 minutes getting worked over. It is really one of the longest heel control spots you were ever going to see in a tag team match. It's like a marathon trying to get through this. It's an endurance test. There we go. Trying to get through this fucking match. electric chair counters, a camel clutch, but can't make the tag yet. Of course not. You get a fifth corner foot by Nash. he's able to foot choke five fucking times. Mm-hmm. He misses a running big boot. Steiner still can't get the tag. This would almost be tolerable in front of a good crowd, but this crowd doesn't understand.
This crowd get this shit the whole time.
Yep. We get a second little bulldog by Scott Hall. Steiner eventually with a belly to belly. Let's him get the tag. Rick's in. Steiner lines. Power slams all around. Top rope bulldog connects. Goes for the 1-2-3, but Nash pulls the ref out. Steiner's win by DQ.
These are my notes kick in.
Ted grabs the belt, but Patrick quickly snatches them away. Einsteiner's thought they got the three.
I put here, evidently, DiBiase is retarded.
Well, you know what? I could almost see where the mistake was made, where they thought that, you know, the Patrick got the three, and that's why he was calling for the bell. So I didn't realize that until afterwards, but still, it was dumb.
Yeah.
Yeah, this was a terrible match. It was fucking long, and it felt even longer. I bet you it was probably only like a 15-minute match, but it felt like 30. Good God. Oh, it was terrible. Like, Kevin Nash, we all know Kevin Nash only has four moves. Who cares? But he did those same four
moves. Over and over again.
Yeah. I'm not joking when I said that he did five foot chokes in the corner. He fucking did. Oh, this match was terrible and boring, and I really want to shut it down right here.
Mm-hmm.
But not to be outdone, It's main event time.
Oh, but glorious. Hogan and Luger in a match. I can already, I was giddy with anticipation.
Michael Buff with the intros. It's nice to see that he found Tony Schiavone's hat from last year.
Oh my God, I noticed that too.
Wasn't that wonderful? Mm-hmm.
Tony Schiavone also said this. Luger had a big one Monday. Tonight he has a bigger one.
A bigger one.
Mm-hmm. Sexual overtones were ridiculous.
WCW World Title Match. Hollywood Hogan, the challenger, taking on Lex Luger, the champion. Now then, Hogan has held the title for like a year at this point. Well, he had held the title for right about a year. He won the title here at last year's Road Wild.
Hog Wild.
Yeah, it was Hog Wild then. Yeah, either way. It was terrible. So they decide that like 2 weeks ago, there on Nitro, that they were going to finally invoke like a rematch clause. You know, that somehow, some way, someone finally noticed, hey, you know what? Hogan needs to defend his title. So we're going to make him do it on TV. We're going to hype it for a week and pop a rating. That was it. That was the only reason that Lex Luger won that title on the Monday before this show was to pop a rating. This is where it's becoming obvious that the guys in the back that are pulling the strings now are guys like the Outsiders and Hogan. As evidence there by the last match. I mean, you know, the Steiners have been angling for their tag team title match for about 10 months. They finally get it. We get a DQ finish. So, you know what? That storyline, gone, over. Good job. Good job, Kevin Nash. We know you're behind that because Scott Hall isn't fucking coherent enough to make that call. But, yeah, you can see this is where it's starting to fall apart because these guys are starting to get the power to do what they want to do. So, all right. You ready to get to this match, sir?
Oh, yeah.
Hogan is super sunburned, which was awesome. Did you notice that? Like how sunburned his head was?
Yeah.
His bald head was fucking burnt. Oh my God. That's what you get for riding your fucking bike, you stupid. Yeah, he's sunburned and in control to start in for pretty much the whole match. Look at the world's worst arm drags by Luger, though, that sent Hulk to the floor. Hogan goes right back to work, though. This is not cowardly heel Hogan here. This is, you know, confident, cocky, no selling shit Hogan. So they go to the floor. We get a step shot and a cable choke. Back in inverted atomic drop. Some chokes in the corner. Match. Luger eventually fires up into a 12th eye poke by Hogan. This is like a good, you know, 10, 12 minute match. And it's all Hogan. Right?
Yeah.
Like, Luger has zero offense. It is all Hogan doing back rakes and eye pokes and punches. Oh, shit. But Luger eventually hits a forearm and brings out the entire NWO. Why is this not a fucking DQ?
Disqualification. But pulling the referee out automatically triggers disqualification.
Yep. Yeah, there we go. It's starting to get into WCW booking.
Mm-hmm.
I don't even know if I can defend this anymore. But, but here comes Sting.
Oh, yeah, it's Sting. It's so obvious.
This is the real Sting.
Sting needs a mask to wear. He has to wear a mask. He got lazy and decided not to wear his freaking, not to paint up his face this week.
He didn't want to paint up his face and he didn't want to wear his hair. So. Mm-hmm. So it's a fake Sting with a mask and a wig on. He hits Luger with the bat. Hogan gets it through. Your winner and new WCW World Champion yet again, Hollywood Hulk Hogan. And the announcers are such stooges. Garbage rains in to the ring, and the NWO, they haul their asses to the back.
Did they really
see how quickly
they're
hauling ass to the back?
Yeah. They're about one of those bikers pulling out a gun or something.
Oh, yeah, they were fucking moving. And at this point, I am just, I'm super pissed at this point. So, because I finally realized, you know, what happened. You know, they did that just to pop a one-week rating. Mm-hmm. That was it. That's all that Bischoff and them gave a fuck about was their TV ratings. It is so terrible because they blew off a year's worth of building up Lex Luger. They built him up for a year. This really nice, slow build. And it was perfect. And to blow it off in a five-day title reign. Good job, Hogan, you fucking cocksucker. Hennigan the Steiner, and the Einsteiners, they come to check on Lex.
Yeah, I saw that, whatever. Too. Yeah.
Rodman's in the back celebrating. They respray the belt, NWO. That's it. Why was Rodman there?
The announcers are so dejected. What do we do now?
They're not even half as dejected as I was.
What do we do now? Where does WCW go from here? My God.
Oh, yeah. This is, you know, it's fantastic.
You know, one question I put in here is, why did the NWO take all the belts? Why? And I thought about that, too, when we were a kid watching this, you know, live as it was happening. But, you know, why didn't they tag all the belts?
Because they weren't, like, big enough. You saw the tag team titles.
Yeah.
Those things are like the tiniest tag belts I've ever seen. And especially on two huge guys. They look so little. They seriously look like a Dusty Rhodes belt buckle. They're awful. Yeah, what did you think of that main event?
It was mind-numbingly boring. Pretty much the majority of the show was. Yeah, it was boring. My notes, you can tell especially which matches did it for me, because my notes just started tailing off. They really did. They're like, okay, let me just stop this and play Madden for a little bit. And, oh, I saw something I can write down. Yeah, that's where it got to for a while.
But yeah. Oh, yeah, you can play Madden, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah, same here. Mm-hmm. Yeah, my days off have been dominated by Madden and Simpsons Marathon, so.
No, yeah.
Man, it's a wonderful, wonderful day to be alive.
I'm off for 4 days. I'm really happy.
but this was terrible. This was a bad pay-per-view. Some god fucking awful booking. That is what made this pay-per-view just even worse. It's just the god awful booking. Mm-hmm. Especially the last two matches, especially. You can see why this company went out of business. Just short-sighted, infinite themselves assholes. That's it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it seriously like made me upset a little bit. I never want to watch WCW again.
I don't want to do it anymore. Fuck the Nitro Greatest.
I don't think I want to be here. All right. What was your match of the night?
Jericho and Wright. I mean, that was the only one that had any flow to it, chemistry. You know,
yep.
Maybe the time in the tag team elimination match when Benoit and Malenko were in the ring together. Besides that, that's about it.
Yeah, that was like the best 2.5 minutes of the entire fucking pay per view.
Mm-hmm.
It was those two. Good God. Let's see. Who was your MVP of the night?
MVP of the night. Alex Wright. I'm going to give it to Alex Wright. Because I missed him so much. I missed him so much. It was fun to go back and see him dancing. What made me pop for him immediately was listening to your show this week.
Yeah.
Yeah, because just remembering what you said there, I was like, yeah, that's right. Alex Wright was fantastic.
He really was?
So when he came out, I was like, this guy is great. I remember that was like one of the highlights.
Yeah, he was fantastic. My MVP is going to be the Macho Man. Yeah, I'm giving it to the Macho Man for doing the J-O-B, yeah, to the Giant. Because, you know, Macho Man will be looked at as, you know, on the Mount Rushmore of one of the best pro wrestlers of all time. And yet, you know, he did a 2-minute job on a pay-per-view to the Giant.
Mm-hmm.
You know, willingly put him over clean as a sheep. So, yeah. There we go. I think that's a nice move. I love you, Macho Man.
Rest in peace.
Yeah, this is terrible. Okay, what do you give the entire show?
I'm going to go with like a 3.
You know, yeah, I like that grade. Mm-hmm. I'm going a 3 as well.
Mm-hmm. I mean, what would we give the first one?
We give... that was like a 5.
Yeah, yeah, because I mean, yeah, like yeah, and then we gave Raw, yeah, and we gave I think December to Dismember was the worst one. I think we gave it like a 1 or 1.5, something like that, 2. Maybe.
I gave that bitch a 1.
Yeah, it was a 1. Yeah, yeah. So I mean, yeah, so it's kind of right there in the middle. I mean, wasn't it? WrestleMania 9 was watchable because it's commentary. Remember that?
Oh yeah, that was a fun show.
Yeah, and then there are certain aspects of the RoboCop one that kind of made it entertaining, but this one is just unwatchable. I mean, it was boring.
Yep.
I hate the biker thing. People riding motorcycles. That's on their own. They go around ahead and do that. You know, it's not my thing. And the fact that they did this was kind of irritating. So.
Well, you know to blame.
Mm-hmm.
Uncle Eric.
Yeah.
That's the only person we can blame for that one, man. But, you know, I'm sure that we will be covering more WCW shows. So, as I trudge forward now.
Keep me aloof, because anytime I hit a pay-per-view that's worthy enough to be on this show, I'll check it out, and we'll do this again just for those shows alone. We have one set up for this weekend. We're going to do this weekend. But yeah, I can't wait.
You wanna, did we already tell the fan folks what that was going to be? I don't remember.
Oh, Halloween Havoc. Halloween Havoc, yeah. 91. What was the underlying? There was another name for that.
It's the one with the Chamber of Horrors.
Chamber of Horrors. That's right.
Yeah.
Yep. I'm gonna watch that tomorrow.
I actually watched it on my own accord, without even before the show even started. Yeah, I watched it not too long ago. So it's better than this.
That's sad. That's sad because this is the time of wrestling where we had fun really watching it, because I was watching I was watching that show today, the Monday Night Wars thing, and people were talking about.
I'm not
about,
gonna watch that.
Yeah, I am because it's the back, but people were talking about some of the wrestlers going on there saying that they would watch Raw and record Nitro, and then after Raw was over they'd watch Nitro. And that's not what I was doing. I was the guy who was flipping back and forth between both shows all fucking night. Yep. And that was when we were fun. We used to go to school on Tuesday and talk about it. Remember that shit? That was fun. Yeah. That was when it was fun.
Yeah. Because they were only like 2 channels away from each other. So it made it real easy.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But now, can you imagine now with DVR? It wouldn't even be fun anymore. I mean, it kind of takes away from it if you record it. That was the whole appeal to me, was going back and forth.
So I spend my Mondays for the most part at work, so I will be flipping back and forth still.
Yeah.
What made it really awesome though is when WCW, they would play Nitro back to back.
Yeah, I remember that. Yeah, I was just thinking about that.
Yeah, man, they would show the immediate replay, so that way you could just go, you know what, I'm just going to watch Raw for tonight, and then I'm going to watch WCW afterwards.
Yeah.
So. But yeah, I really think that like at this point, WWF is really picking up momentum. So they're definitely starting to feel the heat. And
this was the month that Stone Cold broke his neck too, wasn't it?
SummerSlam, yeah, like SummerSlam.
Yeah.
So
we're a couple months away from the screw job. And...
Yeah. So pretty soon, Bret Hart's going to be coming in, and
things get even better.
Yeah, I can't wait. Well, at least next month or the month after Goldberg finally comes in, so I can't wait to watch him again.
Yeah.
Can't wait to watch him again, so then I can go, here, this is how Roman Reigns should be booked.
Hey, just wait. When you get to the December Nitros, you know, the one in Buffalo, I was there.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I'm going to see if I can find you.
Mm. Yeah, right. It ain't gonna happen.
No one. I'm gonna fucking lie about it.
I was in the nosebleed. I saw Mike right there at one time. He was sitting up there. I was in the nosebleeds. The Marine Midland Arena. What's it called now? HSBC?
Something Arena.
Yeah. So.
Tim Hortons Arena.
They got bought out by Burger King. There's a chance they might be down here now. I'm happy about that.
I'm sure they will. Need to have you some Timmy Hortons.
Yeah, I'm fucking miss Timmy Hortons.
Yeah.
I wish Tops would do it.
You ready to get out of here?
Yes, sir. Yeah, it's been fun. I had a good time. I had more fun doing this one than I did SummerSlam.
Well, yeah.
I hated SummerSlam. I'm going to do, this weekend, I'm going to do an up-to-date cast of the champions where I'm probably just going to vent about just how shitty everything's been lately. I'm so dissensitive.
If you're looking for if you're looking for someone to join you in bitching, I'm off on Sunday. So I have nothing to do on Sunday. We can do two shows again.
Yeah, we'll see. We'll cover something here.
All right, Y2 Stump. That's the Twitter. Go follow me there. NitroCast. Go listen to it. So if you liked this show and want to see how we got there, go listen to NitroCast, and then you'll find out. All right, check us home there, sir.
Yes, and I'm at Mike Speesman, at Cast of Champion. You can do either one. That's all cool. You have a follow us on there. While we're doing the show, I sent out a tweet of a picture I took. So make sure you check that out. You'll enjoy that one. And, but yeah. And check out Cast of Champions. I'm probably going to take up Paul's a good idea. We'll do a little co-Cast of Champions on probably Sunday. You work Sunday? You're off Sunday, right?
I am off this Sunday, sir.
Cool. Okay, we can do it in the afternoon because there's a race on Sunday night.
Oh, well, shit.
I can't miss the race Sunday night. So.
Dang, yeah.
And Sunday, and this is the last Sunday where we're not gonna have anything to do. Think about it.
Well, I work on Sundays anyway. So.
Oh, that sucks, man. That's the fucking football season starts too.
Yeah, it's all right. I get paid to watch football.
Oh yeah, yeah. It's a good thing.
Yeah. I get paid to watch football, and I get to use like their Wi-Fi to check my fantasy teams all day. So, So yeah, that's good.
Oh, good.
All right, we're out of here, folks. Thank you all for listening to
Wrestling Buddies.
See ya.
See ya. Peace.
This is not my favorite music.
I was tired of hurting, so tired of searching, till you walked in.